بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our third session, reading from the wasiyya of Al-Imam Ibn Baz, رحمه الله للطلاب الجامعة الإسلامية, and the advice of Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Abdul Ibn Baz, رحمه الله, to the students of the Islamic University of Medina. Tonight we're going to be reading from, I don't think there's page numbers, but it should be in Arabic, the seventh page, third paragraph, and in English, the fifth page from the top. In any case, it's the Al-Wasiyya Al-Thalitha, the third advice, whatever page it's on, third advice. Before we look at this third advice, I just want to remind us that in the first session we actually read the text of the wasiyya of Imam Ibn Baz rahimahullah in its entirety, and very, very brief commentary before and after the reading of that text from Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Musin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahumullah. And in the second session last week, we actually began to read from the main points of this wasiyya, which those points are five, and we read the first and second point, and tonight inshallah we're going to continue with that. Before we read from the third point, just quickly to review some of the points that we covered last week or in the first two sessions. In the beginning of this wasiyya, the Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah mentions briefly points of advice. Six points of advice. Can anybody tell us what those six points are? Tayyib Zakaria. Tayyib, observing taqwa Allah in every situation or circumstance. Somebody else. Number two. Second one. Thank you. Jazakallah khair. Anybody? Anybody know what the second point was? These are the points that he mentioned in the beginning of the advice. Naam. What's your name, Akhi? Mahmood. Yeah, Mahmood. Be diligent, eager, yani al-hirs. Al-hirs ala talib al-ilm. Third point. I see Yusuf, now. Acting upon what you learn. We're going to come to that, inshallah, tonight. From the beginning of the advice, he mentioned 6 points, just in passing. The first of them he mentioned, yani that a person observed taqwa of Allah in every situation or circumstance. Bi jami' al-ahwal. And the second point that he mentioned is that a person, yani, have diligence, yani, eagerness, and hirs, in seeking knowledge. And the third point he mentions, Naam, Yusuf, we give you another shot. Focusing on the material. Focusing, Naam, al-inayah, yani, focusing, yani, giving good, careful attention to the curriculum that the students have, that have been given to study. Naam, and the fourth point, Naam, your name? Abdullah, Naam. Surround yourself with companions. Yani, it's related to that. But more specifically, what did he say? Yani, with the other students, do what? Yani? Discussing. Naam. Discussing. Yani, studying together. Mudhakara. Studying, helping each other to go over the material, especially those things that might be, yani, not so crystal clear. The fifth point that he mentioned? Fifth point. Naam. Abdullah. Okay, asking your teacher, yani, in respect for my asking good questions, respect for my, that's point number six. Before that, Naam, Ahmed.
Listening attentively to your teacher.
These 6 points, at least, yani, we should memorize them, either in Arabic or in English. At least we should memorize these 6 points. And because, yani, we don't want to make difficulty on ourselves or on others, this advice, which is actually in large print, yani just 2 pages, we should memorize the whole of it, but at least memorize these 6 points and then the 5 points that we were discussing, yani tonight and last week. Yani the asbab that will help a person to acquire knowledge. These 6 points, a person should memorize them and know them, and then and he try to act upon them. And because that's the point. The point is that we are learning these things so that we can act upon them, so that we can utilize them in our lives. So
So if a person memorizes it, it's more likely that you'll be in a position to act upon it. If you didn't memorize it, maybe you won't remember some of the points. How can you act upon that which you don't know? You can't do it. It's just not possible. You have to know it. And we want to memorize it. Just memorize the points very, very briefly. A couple of words. That's all. It's not that much. Okay, so that's one thing. The second thing is, we began to mention what the Shaykh referred to as some of the most important asbab. Any ahammu, any min ahammu, min ahammi asbab at-tahsil. Yani some of the most important means through which a person can acquire or obtain knowledge. We began to talk about those last week. The Shaykh mentioned five asbab. And these are from the most important of the means through which a person and he will be able to acquire knowledge. Last week we mentioned two of them, and tonight, inshallah, we're going to continue. And he at a good pace so that we can try to finish as much as possible. Now, what do you... Okay, so there were five points. Five reasons or means through which a person can achieve knowledge. First one, rectifying your intentions. Okay, so the first one that we talked about last week was islah and niyyah. Now,
I don't know if you're asking, you want them? You want them?
You want the next one? I mean, you want to tell me the second one?
I don't know.
Yeah, sure. We want them. Yes, absolutely, we want them. We need them. We are in need of them. Now, hafz al-waqt. And that means that a person pays attention actively, is engaged in trying to preserve, to protect, to guard their time, to not waste time, to not waste your time. Now, and the third one, which we're going to discuss tonight, Zaki.
Acting on what you learn.
Acting upon what you learn. Yani, acting upon the knowledge that you are acquiring. And the fourth one, hopefully we're also going to cover tonight, Abdul Wali. Al-Istiqamah. Be steadfast, al-istiqama, ala taqwa Allah. Yani that a person is constantly striving to be in a condition in which they're observing taqwa of Allah all the time, all the time. And the last one? Now, and he tried to avoid sins as much as possible. Now, al-hadhar min al-ma'asi. So these are things that probably known to us even before we read this risala, but the point of us going over them is number one, benefiting from the knowledge of a real scholar, a high level scholar that is given advice. And if a person receives good advice, real correct advice, and they act upon it, they're going to benefit for sure. And that's what we want to do. We want to benefit. In order to benefit, we're just sitting together, spending a few minutes, to go over what he advised us with and the commentary of the Shaykh Abdul Razak, so that we can dwell upon what has been said here, think about it carefully, try to memorize at least the points, in summary, what are those matters, understand them well, and then act upon them. And then act upon them. So the first one that we covered is Islah and Niyyah. And this is the most important matter. That a person is constantly engaged all the time, striving and struggling continuously to rectify their intention, to make sure that their intention is correct, to make sure it's pure. And this is because intentions change. And a person may find that they start out, as the Shaykh said, with a correct, righteous intention, and then corrupt intentions creeps into their heart. For example, he said, what happens? A person, what might happen? A person might seek knowledge for good purpose for years, and then they find themselves, their heart being corrupted by a corrupt intention. Like, for example, hubb ad-dunya. A person begins to love the things of this world. And so the purpose of seeking knowledge is no longer for the sake of Allah. It's for something of this world. And he mentioned several matters that are corrupt intentions, and from amongst them he mentioned, if anybody remembers another one he mentioned, Naam.
Fame.
A person seeking fame, to be known, shuhra. And he also said, wealth. He didn't mention wealth, he mentioned sum'ah, Yani, but that's also possible. That comes under hubbid dunya, yani loving the things of the world, the wealth. And sum'ah, yani that a person seeks to be heard of, to have a reputation that people heard about them. And also he mentioned, amongst the important affairs that he mentioned also is what? Yeah.
Being talked about amongst people.
Okay, being talked about, naam. Yani, to be in front of the people, zuhur and sum'ah, naam, all of that. Naam. And naam. And seeking yani things of the world. Just quickly, yani, the Shaykh also mentioned, very, very importantly, a couple of other points. One of the reasons why it is a necessity that our intention be purely for the sake of Allah is because seeking knowledge is what? Is ibadah. Seeking knowledge is worship. And no worship will be accepted by Allah unless it's done purely for His sake alone. Put in your mind that seeking knowledge is worship. And some of the scholars said there's nothing better that a person can seek nearness to Allah through than seeking knowledge if it's done sincerely for the sake of Allah. So it's important that we have in the forefront of our mind that this seeking knowledge is worship. This is actually worship. And therefore it has to be done sincerely for the sake of Allah. He also mentioned five imams that did or said something to make us to know the importance of sincere intentions. Who are those imams? Any one of them. Now, Sufyan al-Thawri. Another one.
Imam Ahmed.
Imam Ahmed. Another one. Who else? That's two. Not in this point. An-Nawawi. Three. Bukhari. Naam. How are we living on Bukhari? Four. Who else? You mentioned Nawawi. Naam. Who else? Oh, Baghawi. Imam Baghawi. Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair. That was Imam Baghawi is going to be left out. No doubt. Imam Baghawi. His book of hadith, Sharh Sunnah, is very, very, very important book of hadith. Very, very important book of hadith. In any case, three of these imams he mentioned under one point. And that was, what did they have in common, these three imams, three of them? What did they have in common, Yusuf? They brought it to the attention of students. How did they bring it to the attention of students? Ali. Each one of them began their book with the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Who are those three imams? Naam. An-Nawawi, last. Bukhari, first. Yeah, Zaki. Baghawi. Yeah, come on back with Baghawi again. Al-Imam Baghawi, now. Tayyib. Just quickly, also on the second point that we discussed last week from the asbab of tahseel al-ilm was, the second point was what? Somebody mentioned it earlier. Hafz al-waqt. That a person protect and preserve in God their time. And here he mentioned several points from amongst. The most important things that he mentioned here was that a person is going to be called to account on Yawmul Qiyamah for four according to some hadith and five things. And from amongst them he said, the first one he mentioned, yani that a person is going to be called to attention for their, called to account about their youth. Even though he said a person is going to be called to account about their life, the whole time they had in this world, but specifically, person is also going to be asked about the youth. What did they do with the youth? So youth is a very important time because this is the time when a person is able, when they're strong, when they can read and learn and memorize and do a lot. And therefore, this is especially a time that should be guarded, yani as precious, precious time. Why is time so precious? Well, one reason why time is so precious is because time is your life. Your life is made up of time. Yani days and weeks and months and years. And when days go by, a week is gone. And when weeks go by, a month and years and so on until your life is gone. And the Shaykh also said, very importantly, you can't get it back. Time is precious because when it goes, it doesn't come back. It's gone. That's it. Okay, we'll suffice with this. Except the last point that the Shaykh made. The last point that he made that we closed out with was what? That was the hadith. That's right. He did say that. I mean, that he mentioned a part of that hadith, but he didn't mention that part. He mentioned the part of that hadith that where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? That's the hadith. I mentioned the beginning of the hadith. The Shaykh didn't mention the beginning of the hadith. He mentioned the part that he mentioned is what I'm looking for. What part did he actually mention from that hadith? Ihris ala ma yanfa'uka. And why did he mention that? Yani ihris ala ma yanfa'uka. Yani be diligent, eager, desirous. Go after that which will benefit you. And he mentioned that in reference to what? In reference to? In reference to guarding your time by making a program and a schedule to protect and preserve your time. Your time is important. And the Prophet ﷺ said a person has to be diligent in going after that which benefits him. And from the most important things that benefit you is your time. So a person has to be diligent. And in order to do so, you have to make a schedule. You have to make a program. You have to set up something so that you actually know you manage your time. So that you manage your time. These are some of the things that we discussed last week. And for whatever reason, Danny, Allah made it that I didn't make any study guide for this topic. But in any case, may Allah help us. So these are some of the points that we did discuss. And I just want to go over a few of them, just so that we don't completely forget about them. Taib. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be looking at the third point. And I already alluded to it, but I'll repeat because some people came in and some people were settling down, some people were praying, that the point here is that we recognize this as being an important advice from a great imam, from the people of knowledge, from the people of sunnah. And he has given us advice. And we want to look at it and study it and review it and discuss it together so that we can make sure that we understand it well and then ask Allah to help us to act upon it. So tonight, inshallah, we will look at the third advice that he gave, al-wasiyah al-thalitha min asbab التحصيل مما ذكره رحمه الله. And the third advice from the means of acquisition of knowledge he is referring to. From the means of acquisition of knowledge from what he, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz رحمه الله mentioned. Al-Wasiyya Thalitha. Who it is? Al-Amal بما علم. Al-amalu bima alima. That is acting upon what a person has learned. Acting upon what you know. And I doubt that there's anyone from amongst us that doesn't already know this. But to what extent do we act upon it? To what extent are we actually acting upon what we know? And how much of what we know we don't act upon? For example, a person knows that it's from the sunnah and it's from the important voluntary things that a person does that's very easy to do. That after you pray the congregational prayer in the masjid, the men in the masjid, that a person sits and praises and glorifies Allah. And who doesn't know that? But who hasn't seen, after every congregational prayer, that the overwhelming majority of the people run out of the masjid? And I don't mean literally run, but almost run. I mean jump up and scatter. Like we know, but we don't act upon what we know. And that's just an example. How many times I have seen our imam, yani discreetly, try to catch a person. Discreetly, without anybody noticing, but I'm watching everything. A person sat in the masjid after praying Fajr and Jama'ah and sat until, yani, it's 3 minutes before sunrise or 3 minutes before it's permissible to pray after sunrise and get up and walk out of the masjid. Like, how can a person know the value of sitting in the masjid after the Fajr prayer in congregation, remembering Allah and then praying 2 rak'ah and would be given the reward of Hajj and Umrah. Tamatan. And how does a person just not act upon that? How do you not act upon that? And there are hundreds, literally hundreds of examples that we could all share with each other of things that are known but are not acted upon. It's incumbent upon us to take this matter seriously. And the reason why I'm taking time, even though we don't have a lot of time, but I'm taking the time to discuss this because the point is that we have to do it. And if it means that we have to stop for a moment and talk about what this means, it's simple language, yani. Al-amalu bima aliyah. That's like real simple, easy to understand. Everybody can understand that in any language, acting upon what you know. But doing it is another matter altogether. And tawfiq is from Allah. So a person asks Allah to help me to act upon what I know. You have to ask. And you have to make dua. Don't imagine that I'm just capable of doing this. Because as the young people say, you ain't built like that. I heard an old man say that the other day. That's what made me brought it to my mind. Subhanallah. Now, we have to ask Allah. Because Allah is the one who gives success. Success is with Allah. And if we want to do this, we have to ask Allah to help us. We're not going to do it just because we know it. There's too much that we know that we don't use, that we don't act upon. So we have to ask Allah. If we want to be successful in doing these things, we have to ask Allah to help us. Allahumma musta'an. Tayyib. The Shaykh says, Al-Wasiyah Al-Thalitha. From those means through which a person acquires knowledge, and what has been mentioned by the Imam, rahimahullah, is al-amal bima alima, that a person acts upon what he knows. وَهَذَا هُوَ مَقْصُودُ الْعِلْمِ. And this, acting upon what you learn, is the actual objective of learning. It's actually the goal of knowledge. It's the aim, the purpose of seeking knowledge is to act upon it. That is really the purpose. The purpose of seeking knowledge is not just to accumulate information. But the purpose of seeking knowledge is to act upon it. That's the very purpose. If a person doesn't use something for the purpose for which it was made, what's the point? And a person has a brand new washing machine that costs $1,200. And they use it as a table to put things on. Like, that's dumb. And sometimes the way we act is dumb. And if we seek knowledge, its objective is to act upon it, but we don't act upon it. Okay, let's move quickly a little bit now. The Shaykh, he mentions, yani Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says, يَقُولُ عَلِيٌّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ يَحْتِفُ الْعِلْمُ بِالْعَمَلِ. Yani in the original transcript, the Arabic was backwards. I mean, the meaning was backwards. And the translation was as well. I think we corrected both of them in the updated version of the... yani Ali radiallahu anhu said that knowledge calls out to action, calls out for action. Yani, knowledge requires that a person acts upon it. يَحْتِفُ الْعِلْمُ بِالْعَمَلِ فَإِنْ أَجَابَهُ وَإِلَّا أَرْتَحَلَ. So, knowledge requires a person to act. It calls for action. So if action responds, meaning if a person acts, then the knowledge remains. Otherwise, the knowledge leaves. If a person doesn't act upon what they learn, then it leaves. Irtahala. It goes on its way. It departs. What is it that leaves? The Shaykh says, Al-ilm. Yartahilu idha lam ya'mal bihi sahibuhu. Meaning knowledge departs. It goes on its way. If the one who possesses that knowledge, the sahib, if the one who possesses that knowledge doesn't act upon it, knowledge will leave. It will not remain. ولهذا من أعظم أسباب ضبط العلم وإتقانه وقوة تحصيله أن يعمل المرء به حتى يكون من أهله. So it is for this reason, yani that acting upon knowledge preserves the knowledge, and not acting upon it causes it to depart. It is for this reason that from the greatest of the means of a person having mastery or command over the knowledge, and having precision or preciseness and thoroughness in the knowledge, and having strength, yani in the acquisition of knowledge, from the greatest of the means, is that a person acts upon it until or so that, hatta yakuna min ahlihi, until he becomes or so that he becomes from the ahlul ilm, yani the people of knowledge. لأن المرأة لا يكون من أهل العلم بمجرد حفظه. Because a person will not be from the people of knowledge, the أهل العلم, by simply simply by memorization. Memorization of the information doesn't make a person to be from the Ahlul Ilm. بَلْ لَا يَكُونُ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ إِلَّا بِعَمَلِهِ بِالْعِلْمِ. Rather, a person doesn't become from the Ahlul Ilm except by acting upon that knowledge. حَتَّى الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ. And this is the case even with the noble Qur'an. لَا يَكُونُ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ بِمُجَرَّدْ حَفْظْ حُرُوفِهِ. That a person will not be from the people of the Qur'an, the Ahlul Qur'an, by simply memorizing its letters. And the memorization of the words of the Qur'an. Simply by memorizing, that doesn't make a person from Ahlul Qur'an. فَإِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ أُنزِلَ لِيَعْمَلَ بِهِ. Why is it that a person who has memorized the entire Qur'an is not considered to be Ahlul Qur'an just by memorization? Because the reason for which the Qur'an was revealed is to act upon it. And Allah revealed the Qur'an so that we will act upon it. So just memorizing it without acting upon it doesn't make you from Ahlul Qur'an. Even though memorization is of the utmost importance. Now, but memorizing it is a means through which a person can act upon it. Because you memorize it, so you come to know it. And when you come to know it, you have the ability to act upon it. The Qur'an was sent down. It was revealed to be acted upon. So a person will not be from the Ahlul Qur'an. فَلَا يَكُونُ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ إِلَّا إِذَا عَمِلَ بِهِ. A person will not be from the Ahlul Qur'an unless he acts upon it. وَلِهَذَا جَاءَ فِي الصَّحِيحِ. And here the Shaykh brings a very crystal clear evidence concerning this particular matter. He says, for this reason it came in the Sahih, yani in the authentic hadith. This hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. The hadith of Al-Nawas ibn Sam'an. يُؤْتَى بِالْقُرْآنِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. Or as it came, yani the wording was يُؤْتَى يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ بِالْقُرْآنِ وَأَهْلِهِ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ بِهِ. Yani that the Qur'an will be brought forth on the day of resurrection, the day of standing. And its people, the Ahl Qur'an. And in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ describes its people, وَأَهْلِهِ أَلَّذِينَ كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ بِهِ. Yani those who used to act upon it. Those who used to act upon it. Just quickly, yani a note that's not in the notes. Yani this hadith, the hadith of Nawas radiallahu anhu, he said, I heard the Prophet ﷺ saying, yani the meaning of which is the Qur'an will be brought forth on Yawm al-Qiyamah and its people who used to act upon it. تَقْدُومُهُ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةُ وَآلِ إِمْرَانِ. And in the forefront of what came, yani in the Qur'an, in the forefront will be Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran. تُحَاجَّانِ عَنْ صَاحِبِهِمَا. And they will argue on behalf of the people, yani who acted upon them, who learned them and acted upon them. Yani they will intercede with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on behalf of the people, the Ahlul Qur'an. Yani the people who learned the Qur'an and acted upon it. This hadith is reported by Al-Imam Muslim. And quickly, yani as far as this particular hadith, how the Shaykh has used it, some of the scholars said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the one who has defined or restricted the meaning of this hadith, yani the Ahlul Qur'an, the Qira'atul Qur'an, and he has restricted its meaning to those who act upon it. And in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, the Ahlul Qur'an are who? Those who ya'maluna bihi, who acted upon it. So this definition of Ahlul Qur'an being limited to those who act upon it is from the Prophet ﷺ. And this is because reading the Qur'an is of two types, yani one group of people who don't act upon it. Yani they don't believe in what? The information that it came with, nor do they act upon the rulings that came in it. And for these people, the Qur'an will be a proof against them. For these people, the Qur'an will be a hujjah alayhim. And the other group of people are those who believe in what the Qur'an came, the information, what it came with, They believed in it. They testified to its truthfulness and they acted upon what it contained. And these people, the Qur'an will be a proof for them. Meaning, the Qur'an on Yawm al-Qiyamah will argue on their behalf. And in this is an indication of the importance, that the most important thing is that a person acts upon the Qur'an. That a person acts upon it. That's the most important thing. And we'll see the Shaykh emphasizes this meaning in his commentary when we come back to him. And then it's mentioned also that this meaning is also supported by the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Sa'd, 38th Surah, 29th Ayat, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And this is a blessed book that has been sent down to you so that you may reflect upon its ayat. And so that the people of understanding will be reminded by it. Yani they will be reminded of what we should be doing, how we should be living. لِيَدَّبَّرُ آيَاتِهِ, it is mentioned that the meaning is to understand its meanings. And وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, it means that they, yani, are reminded of what the Qur'an is instructing us with so that they act upon it. And action here is understood from, yani, the person, yani, reflecting on the Qur'an, because it is by reflecting on the Qur'an that a person achieves knowledge. And action is a branch that comes forth from knowledge. So that a person can't act without having knowledge. And a person is not going to have knowledge and understanding of the Qur'an unless they reflect upon it. Now, Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says, after mentioning this hadith, he says, so the Ahlul Qur'an, فَأَهْلُ الْقُرْآنِ هُمْ مَنْ يَعْمَلُونَ بِالْقُرْآنِ. The people of Qur'an, they are those who act upon the Qur'an. حَتَّى وَإِنْ لَمْ يَتَيَسَّرْ لَهُ حِفْظُ الْقُرْآنِ كَامِلًا. Yani even, the Ahlul Qur'an are those who act upon it. Even if a person was not enabled to memorize the Qur'an in its entirety, and it wasn't made possible for that person, they didn't memorize the whole Qur'an. لَكِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ إِنَايَتِي بِالْعَمَلِ بِالْقُرْآنِ وَمُوَاظَبَتِي عَلَىٰ الْعَمَلِ بِالْقُرْآنِ يَكُونُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرْآنِ. But this person who wasn't able to memorize the Qur'an in its entirety, but however, عَلَىٰ إِنَايَتِي بِالْعَمَلِ بِالْقُرْآنِ, because he gave care and attention to acting upon the Qur'an, and muwadhaba, yani he persevered and persistent in applying himself to acting upon the Qur'an, in this way he became from the Ahlul Qur'an. Even if he wasn't able to memorize it in its entirety. Because what? Because the important purpose for which the Qur'an was revealed to act upon it. So if a person applies themselves, is persistent and insistent in trying to act upon the Qur'an, this will make them from the Ahlul Qur'an. Shaykh Abdul Razak says, فَيَنْبَغِي عَلَىٰ طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ أَنْ يُعْنَى بِهَذَا الْأَمْرَ. Yani, so it is incumbent upon the student of knowledge to give attention, to give care to this affair. That is, acting upon one's knowledge. وَأَنْ يَكُونُ مَقْصِدُهُ مِنْ التَّعَلُّمِ الْعَمَلِ. And that one's objective in learning, the objective in learning is to act upon it. فَيَتَعَلَّمُ لِيَعْلَمَ. So a person learns in order to act. لِيَنْفَعَ نَفْسَهُ بِمَا يُقَرِّبُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَيُدْنِيهِ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيَنَالُ بِهِ ثَوَابَهُ جَلَّ فِي عُلَى. So the person learns for the purpose of acting, so that one will benefit, yani benefit yourself by that which or through that which brings you near to Allah and near to His Rahmah and to attain His reward. Yani a person learns with an objective, yani to act, to benefit themselves by knowledge that will bring them nearer to Allah, will bring them nearer to the rahmah of Allah and to attain His reward. Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah says, يَقُولُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ He said, يَقُولُ وَقَدْ جَاءَ فِي بَعْضِ الْآثَارِ يعني Shaykh Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah says, may Allah have mercy upon him, he says, it has come in some of the athar, yani some of the transmitted sayings, yani some of those sayings that have been transmitted to us, that have been conveyed to us. And sometimes the word athar can be used to mean hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but more commonly it's used to refer to the sayings of those who came any after, any from the early generation, from the Sahaba and Tabi'in, Atba' Tabi'in. In this case, Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah mentions it as an athar, even though it has been narrated as a hadith, marfu'un, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. But because the chain of the hadith that attributes to the Prophet is weak, because the chain is weak, so perhaps that's the reason why the Shaykh didn't attribute it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And due to taking precautions from attributing something to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we don't believe is authentic. Nonetheless, he mentions it, and the scholars mention it, even though the isnad may not be authentic, but the meaning that it contains is correct. And the proof of that is the ayat that he mentioned following this, and other proofs there also that support the meaning that came in this athar. He said, مَنْ عَمِلَ بِمَا عَلِمَ أَوْرَثَهُ اللَّهُ عِلْمَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِمَا عَلِمَ Whoever acts upon what he knows, أَوْرَثَهُ اللَّهُ And the wording in some of the narrations came like different, but the same meaning. أَوْرَثَهُ اللَّهُ عِلْمَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ And whoever acts upon what he knows, then Allah will give him knowledge of what he didn't know. If a person acts upon what they learned, then Allah will give them more knowledge of what they didn't learn yet. He will give them that knowledge. The Shaykh says, هَذَا يُفِيدُكَ أَنَّ عِنَايَتَكَ بِالْعَمَلِ بِمَا تَتَعَلَّمُهُ يُعِينُكَ عَلَى تَحْصِيلِ مَا لَمْ تَتَعَلَّمْهُ Yani this, the benefit from this statement, or what we learn from it, what it teaches us, is that your giving care to acting upon what you have learned will help you, it will aid you, and it will assist you in the acquisition of what you didn't yet learn. And if a person gives care to acting upon what they have already learned, this will help them, and this will be a means to which they will be enabled to acquire the knowledge of what they didn't learn yet. فَالْعَمَلُ سَبَبٌ لِمَزِيدِ الْعِلْمِ وَمَزِيدِ التَّحْصِيلِ So, acting yani upon one's knowledge, this is a sabab. Yani it's a means or a cause through which a person yani gets an increase in knowledge and an increase in the acquisition of knowledge. Here, Shaykh Abdul Razak quotes again from Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, qala rahimahullah, وَشَاهِدُ هَذَا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَالَّذِينَ اَحْتَدَوْ زَادَهُمْ هُدَى وَأَتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ Surah Muhammad, 47th Surah, 17th Ayat. And here, Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah mentions this saying that whoever acts upon what they know, Allah will give them knowledge of what they didn't yet learn. He said, what supports this? What verifies this meaning? Yani because it's not an authentic hadith, what verifies this meaning, what supports it, yani the shahid for it, is what is contained in the Book of Allah, several ayats. He mentions two here, from Surah to Muhammad, 47th Surah, 17th ayat. وَالَّذِينَ اَحْتَدَوْا Yani those who accept the guidance and act upon it. That's the actual meaning of it. Yani not just those who are guided. Yani those who accept the guidance when it comes to them and acts upon it. Then Allah will increase them in guidance and He will give them their taqwa. And He will give them that which will be the means through which they will be protected from the hellfire. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Maryam, we're going to come back to the first ayat. In Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 76th ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيُزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اِحْتَدَوْا هُدَى And Allah gives an increase to those who follow the guidance and He gives them more guidance. Here I just want to mention quickly, yani, the meaning of ihtadaw.
وَالَّذِينَ اِحْتَدَوْا زَادُهُمْ هُدَى. Yani those who follow the guidance, Allah will give them more guidance. The Shaykh Abdul Rahman Sa'adi says, وَالَّذِينَ اِحْتَدَوْا, the meaning of it is, يعني بالإيمان والإنقياد واتباع ما يرضى الله. Yani the person who follows the guidance, يعني by having iman in it. الإيمان والإنقياد, and surrendering, complying with what it came with. واتباع ما يرضى الله, and following that which is pleasing to Allah, that which pleases Allah. يعني والذين احتدوا, يعني those who Allah will give more guidance to are those who, when the guidance came to them, they believed in it, they complied with it, and they did that which they knew was pleasing to Allah from the guidance that came to them. Those who do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them more guidance. And he said, وَأَتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ, and he also gave them their taqwa. He said, يعني Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, he says, rahimahullah, شُكْرًا مِنْهُ تَعَالَى لَهُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. يعني Allah gives them more guidance. يعني شُكْرًا مِنْهُ تَعَالَى, يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates them accepting the guidance, believing in it, complying with it, and acting upon it, and following that which is in it that's pleasing to Allah. Allah appreciates that from them. And for that reason, for that, he gives them more guidance. Al-Imam Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah, he says, وَأَتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ, and he will give them their taqwa. He says, the meaning here, giving them their taqwa, وَفَقَهُمْ لِلْخَيْرِ وَحَفِظَهُمْ مِنَ الشَّرِ, that he will give them success in doing good. وَفَقَهُمْ لِلْخَيْرِ, Allah is the one who gives tawfiq. So he will give them tawfiq, the ability to do good. And he will also, حَفِظَهُمْ مِنْ الشَّرِ, and he will protect them from evil. That's the meaning of, يعني, that's how Al-Imam al-Sa'adi says, وَأَتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ, that Allah will give them success, he will give them taqwa, meaning he will give them success to do good, and he will protect them from evil. فَذَكَرَ لِلْمُحْتَدِينَ جَزَاءَيْنِ الْعِلْمَ النَّافِيَ وَالْعَمَلَ الصَّالِحِ. So Al-Imam al-Sa'adi says here that Allah mentions in this ayat, for the people who accept the guidance, who act upon the guidance, he mentions two rewards that Allah will give them. The first of them is al-ilm al-nafi'a, and he will give them guidance. And the second of them is amal as-salih, righteous deeds, and he will give them the ability to act upon it, and to do righteous deeds, to observe taqwa. Now, so this is the, yani, the end of, the Shaykh, he says in his commentary after mentioning these two ayats, he says, and this is the end of this point, he says, so inayatuka, yani, you're giving care and attention to acting upon the knowledge, wa riayatuka, and you're guarding and protecting and preserving that knowledge, yani, acting upon knowledge, he said, yani, because the person gives care to this and is careful in guarding, preserving this affair, that is acting upon knowledge, then this will be from the greatest umur al-mu'ina. Yani min a'azam al-umur al-mu'inati ala thabat al-ilm indaka. Yani thabat al-mawjood wa tahseel ma laysa bi-mawjood. Yani this will be from the greatest means that a person is careful and gives attention to making sure that they are acting upon the knowledge that they have. This will be from the greatest affairs that will help a person to preserve the knowledge that is with them. Yani thabat al-mawjood, yani that they will preserve the knowledge that they have, they won't lose it. Wa tahseel ma laysa bi-mawjood, and they will also acquire the knowledge that they don't yet have. They will protect and preserve the knowledge that they have, and they will also, it will also be a means to acquiring knowledge that they don't have. This is the first point. And second point. Second point was the fourth matter, al-amr al-rabi', the fourth matter min al-asbab al-lati dhakaraha rahimahullah ta'ala, the fourth matter from amongst those means, those asbab, which Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah has mentioned, is al-istiqamatu ala taqwa Allah.
that a person be upright, steadfast, upon observing taqwa of Allah. And he always, constantly engaged in observing taqwa of Allah. وَتَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ شَأْنُهُ عَظِيمٌ. And the affair of taqwa, observing taqwa of Allah, this is a great, magnificent, important affair. وَهِيَ وَسِيَّةُ اللَّهِ لِلْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. And it is, yani the wasiya of Allah to the first people and the last people, yani in the creation. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Nisa, fourth surah, 131st ayah. وَلَقَدْ وَصَيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And we have given instruction, command, enjoin upon those who were given the book before you, yani before the Muslims, before the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have instructed or commanded or enjoined upon those who were given scripture before you. وَإِيَّاكُمْ. And likewise we have given you the same instruction or command, yani to observe taqwa of Allah. To observe taqwa of Allah. And Al-Imam Sa'adi mentions in the tafsir of this ayah, yani the ayah has some other important points that quickly we're going to look at, just very, very briefly. He mentions that yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he has given the wasiyah, yani the command or the enjoined upon the people before us who have been given the scriptures and for this ummah to observe taqwa of Allah. وَإِن تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَنِيًّا حَمِيدًا. And if you disbelieve, yani if you reject observing taqwa of Allah, then no matter, because to Allah belongs the heavens, whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. And Allah is غَنِيٌ حَمِيد. He is without need. He is rich. He doesn't have any need. And He is praiseworthy. And Allah owns everything in the heavens and the earth. And Imam Sa'adi, he says, and I'm going to go through it just quickly, yani for the benefit. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us about the vastness and the greatness of His mulk, yani of His kingdom, which requires, necessitates that He manages, yani tadbir, that He controls all of the affairs, that He has, yani the free, absolute power of disposal of everything, of every type, qadran wa shar'an. And in terms of what He has decreed to happen, He decides what He wills. And what He legislates, He legislates what He wills. Allah has free power, absolute power to do whatever He wills. فَتَصَرُّفُهُ الشَّرْعِي أَنْ وَصَى لِلْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ السَّابِقَ وَاللَّاعِقَ بِالتَّقْوَى. Yani, so from His tasarruf, yani His power to do whatever He wills in terms of the sharia, He has commanded the first of the people and the last of the people of the books of the past and those who came after them, yani He has commanded them to observe taqwa of Allah, which entails al-amr wa nahi, commanding and prohibiting. وَالتَّشْرِيَ الْأَحْكَامِ, and legislating rules and laws. وَالْمُجَازَاتِ, and giving reward to those who observe this wasiyah, rewarding them, and punishing those who neglect to observe it with a severe punishment. وَإِن تَكْفُرُوا, but if you disbelieve, that is, you fail to observe taqwa of Allah, and you associate with Allah that which He hasn't sent down any authority, فَإِنَّكُمْ لَا تَدُرُّونَ بِذَٰلِكَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَكُمْ. And you don't harm anyone by doing so except yourselves. وَلَا تَدُرُّونَ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. And you don't harm Allah in any way whatsoever. And you don't decrease anything from His kingdom at all. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَهُ عَبِيدٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْكُمْ وَأَعْظَمُ وَأَكْفَرُ مُطِيعُونَ لَهُ خَالِعُونَ لِأَمْرِهِ. Because Allah has worshippers, yani who are better than you, and greater than you, and more than you. And they are obedient, and they comply and submit to His commands. And so Allah has commanded the people of the earlier nations and this ummah with to observe taqwa. Whoever observes it, Allah will reward them. Whoever fails to observe it, Allah will punish them. Yani there's no loss to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The loss is to the one who fails to observe a taqwa. After mentioning this ayah, the Shaykh says that this is the wasiyah of Allah, yani to observe taqwa, and it's also the wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which it's recorded in authentic hadith that he said, observe taqwa of Allah, yani haythu ma kunta, wherever you may be. And it's also the wasiyah of the Salaf al-Salih, the righteous predecessors amongst themselves, that they advise one another with taqwa. And this is something that, yani, that we should bring back to life. Yani, reminding one another to observe taqwa. Yani, saying to somebody, ittaqillah, yani, at the time when you see somebody observing a sin is one thing. But reminding one another at all times to observe taqwa Allah is also in order. Yani, that this is a reminder that we need to be reminding one another with. The observance of taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the abd having inayah, care for doing so, yani care for achieving it, realizing it, yani inayat al-abd bitahqiqiha mujibun, yani necessitates, wasababun, and it's also a cause litahsilihi lil-ilmi, wanailihi lil-ilmi, wakhurujihi min al-jahl. Yani the observance of taqwa of Allah and the person paying attention and giving care to the actualization or the realization of observance of taqwa of Allah is something that requires, that necessitates, and it's a cause for a person to yani achieve, to acquire, to attain knowledge, and to achieve knowledge, and to be removed from ignorance. Yani giving care to the observation, yani to observing taqwa of Allah, is a means, is a cause, and it necessitates a person achieving knowledge and escaping from ignorance. Shaykh Abdul Razak says, وَنْظُرْ هَذَا الْإِسْتِدْلَالِ الْجَمِيلِ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ. And then he says, look at how the Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, has used the following ayat from the Qur'an, or the following ayat from the Qur'an, how he has used them as an evidence. It's istidlal. Yani he cites this ayat as a proof for what preceded. That observing taqwa of Allah is a means to achieving knowledge. Look at how he used this ayat in a way that probably even people who know Arabic very well, and who know the language, they are people of the Arabic language or students of Arabic language, wouldn't recognize yani this meaning in the ayat that the Shaykh mentions here in terms of this particular matter, that observing taqwa of Allah is a means of achieving knowledge, acquisition of knowledge, increasing one's knowledge. يقول رحمه الله قال الله تعالى وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيُرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, 2nd and 3rd Ayat. Second and third ayat. So whoever observes taqwa of Allah, Allah will make for that person a makhraj. He will make a way out, an escape from whatever condition or circumstance or hardship or difficulty they might be in. وَرُزُقْهُ. And he will also give him rizq, provisions, from where he didn't expect it, from where even his mind, he couldn't imagine it. Shaykh Abdul Razak says, look at how the Shaykh used these ayat as a proof for the point that observing taqwa of Allah is a means to the acquisition of knowledge. Shaykh Abdul Razak says, مَخْرَجًا مِنْ مَاذَا. Yani, Allah will observe taqwa of Allah, Allah will make a way out for you. A makhraj. He will make a way out from what? الْقَائِدَةَ عِنْدَ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ أَنَّ حَذْفَ الْمُتَعَلِّقِ يُفِيدُ الْعُمُومِ. He says there's a principle or rule amongst the scholars that when something has been omitted, yani that's connected to something, the thing that is connected to something, when it has been omitted, then this indicates to us that the meaning is general. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he will make a makhraj for you. But he doesn't say a makhraj from what. So by him not mentioning that it will be a makhraj from what, that means it's general. Yani from many things, not from one thing. But from many things. He will make a makhraj from many things. Shaykh says, is this a makhraj, an escape from ignorance? Is it a makhraj from fitan, from trials and tribulations? Is it a makhraj from shurur, from all types of evil? He says, يَتَنَاوَلُ هُمُومَ قَوْلِهِ مَخْرَجًا الْخُرُوجُ مِنَ الْجَهَلِ. So it's, yani it's general. And therefore it also includes, yani that Allah says he will make a makhraj, it also includes that he will make a way out for you from ignorance. That's included in the general meaning of he will make for you a makhraj. So the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla is from the means through which a person will have a way out and escape from ignorance and be safe from ignorance. Observing taqwa of Allah is a means for you to escape from ignorance and to be safe from ignorance. And for this reason, Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah said, "Wal makhraj min al-jahl min ahammi al-makharij al-matluba." So from the things that a person would want to have an escape from the most important of those things that are matluba, that are required or requested or desired, from the most important of the things that a person would want to have an escape from, is an escape from ignorance. Is an escape from ignorance. And he goes on in the ayat that follows, وَأَيْضًا يَسْتَدِلُّ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ بِقَوْلِهِ وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And Allah will also provide that person with provisions, with rizq, from where he didn't expect it. The Shaykh, Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he says, كَمَا أَنَّ الْعِلْمُ مِنْ أَفْضَلَ الرِّزْقِ الَّذِي يُنْتِجُ عَنِ التَّقْوَى. Yani, that just like from the most important things that a person would want to escape from through taqwa is escaping from ignorance, well, likewise, knowledge is from the best of provisions that will be the result of taqwa. So from the results of observing taqwa is that a person will have a way out. And from the most important things that a person wants an escape from is ignorance. And from the benefits of observing taqwa is that Allah will provide a person with provisions. And from the best of provisions that result from taqwa is that a person gets knowledge. So here from two angles, he shows how the observance of taqwa will help a person to escape from ignorance, and it will also be the means through which a person would get knowledge. Shaykh Abdul Razak says, وَإِذَا تَقَيْتَ اللَّهِ يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَخْرَجًا وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ الْمَخْرَجْ مِنَ الْجَهَلِ وَرَزَقَكَ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ أَنْ يَرْزُقُكَ الْعِلْمَ النَّافِعَ الَّذِي تَنْتَفِعُ بِهِ فِي دُنْيَاكَ وَأُخْرَاكَ. So he said, so, O Abdullah, O worshipper of Allah, if you observe taqwa of Allah, then number one, Allah will make for you a makhraj, a way out. And from the things that Allah will make a way out from the most important of them is a way out from ignorance. And secondly, Allah will provide for you provisions from where you didn't expect it. And from the provisions that Allah will provide you with, from the best of them is al-ilm al-nafiyah. Beneficial knowledge, which will benefit you both in this world as well as in the next life. And we're almost at the hour, and we any last point that the Shaykh makes here. Shaykh Abdul Razak says, وَذَكَرَ دَلِيلًا آخَرَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ وَهُوَ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. And he also, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, mentions another evidence yani that supports the idea that yani from the benefits of observing taqwa yani is that a person will achieve greater knowledge. He says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, 29th Ayat, O you who believe, if you observe taqwa of Allah, Allah will make for you a furqan, yani a criterion. And actually the ayah goes on to say, which there's a benefit in what remains after that, although this is the main point, and that Allah, if you observe taqwa of Allah, Allah will make for you a criterion. And Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah says, وَأَحْسَنُ مَا قِيلَ فِي تَفْسِيرُ الْفُرْقَانِ أَنَّهُ مَا يَحْسُلُ لِلْعَبْدِ مِنْ نُورُ الْعِلْمِ الَّذِي يُفَرِّكُ بِهِ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَالْبَاطِلِ. And from the best of what has been said, yani in the tafsir, the explanation of what is intended here by Allah will make for you a furqan, a criterion, from the best of what has been said by the scholars of tafsir concerning its meaning, is that the criterion will be that through which the abd, yani, will achieve the light of knowledge. The light of knowledge which will enable him to distinguish between truth and falsehood. Which will enable him to distinguish between truth and falsehood. And we're going to end here with this ayah that the Shaykh just mentioned, but I'm just going to complete the ayah. This ayah in Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, O you who believe, observe taqwa of Allah. If you observe taqwa of Allah, Allah will make for you a furqan. And then he says, وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. And he will also expiate for you your sins. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. And he will forgive you sins. And he made greater sins and lesser sins. وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. And Allah is the one who possesses a magnificent, great, yani, fadl, yani bounties. So again, Al-Imam As-Sa'di, rahimahullah, he says, the abd complying with taqwa of his Rabb, and he doing so is an indication and a sign of a person's good fortune and success. And if that a person observes taqwa of Allah, this is an indication and a sign that a person, and he said, عنوان السعادة وعلامة الفلاح. It's a sign and an indication that a person has achieved good fortune and success. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rattaba ala taqwa min khayr al-dunya wal-akhira shay'an kathir. And Allah has made that the result of a person observing taqwa, there's a lot of good that will result from it in this world as well as in the next life. So he has mentioned here in this ayat that whoever observes taqwa will receive four things. And every one of them is better than whatever is in this world. Every one of them is better than the world and all that is in it. Four things. What are those four things? The first of them is what the Shaykh mentioned, the Furqan. And the Furqan is al-ilm wal-huda, al-ladhi yufarriq bihi sahibuhu. Bain al-huda wal-dalal wal-haq wal-batil wal-halal wal-haram. Wa ahlu al-sa'ada wa ahlu al-shaqawa. Yani that the Furqan, the first of those four things that will be the result of a taqwa is that a person will have a criterion, yani knowledge and right guidance, by which the one who has it will be able to distinguish between right guidance and misguidance, between truth and falsehood, between that which is lawful and that which is unlawful, and between the people of sa'ada, the people of good fortune, and the people of shaqawa, the people who will be wretched, yani who will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first one. The second and third are takfir as-sayyi'at wa maghfiratu dhunub. Yani Allah says, wa yukaffir ankum sayyatikum wa yaghfir lakum. So this is the second and third benefit of a taqwa, that Allah will expiate a person's sayyi'at, yani the lesser sins, and he will forgive their dhunub, the greater sins. And each one of them may be included in the other, yani عند الاطلاق or عند الانفراد, yani that يعني تكفير السيئات ومغفرة الذنوب, يعني each one of them, if it's mentioned separately, can have the meaning of both. But when they are mentioned together, each has his own meaning. Like what? Like the, huh? Islam and Iman. يعني when they are mentioned separately, each one includes the other. But when they are mentioned together, then each one has its own meaning. He said here the same thing. يعني when they are mentioned together, he said, takfir as-sayyi'at means al-dhunub as-sighar, means the lesser sins. Takfir as-sayyi'at. Wa maghfiratu dhunub, and the forgiveness of sins, means the, yani, takfir of al-kaba'ir, the greater sins. So takfir as-sayyi'at means the lesser sins, wa maghfiratu dhunub means the greater sins. And the fourth matter, and this is what we're going to close with, the fourth matter, the Shaykh says that a person from taqwa, he said, and Allah ends this ayah by saying, وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ, that Allah is the one who possesses magnificent, great, tremendous bounties. Meaning that the people observe taqwa, Allah is going to give you from His bounties. And الْأَجَلْ الْعَظِيمِ وَالثَّوَابِ الْجَزِيلِ, that Allah will give you a tremendous, magnificent reward for the person who observes taqwa and who gives preference to what's pleasing to him over that which their lower desires requires from them. And this is understood from the saying of Allah, وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. And this is the end of what we want to say. But tonight, inshallah, we're going to stop with this. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grants success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors. And that He grant us al-thabat, that we be firm and steadfast upon Sirat al-Mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant a quick and speedy, complete recovery to those who are sick, and to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, to fill their graves with light, and to make them spacious, and to admit them into His paradise, and protect them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to the Muslims in Palestine, in Sudan, in Yemen, in Syria, in Afghanistan, yani in India, in Burma, in China, wherever they may be. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to the Muslims who are being persecuted, who are being tortured, who are being murdered unjustly and unfairly, men, women, and children. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who we should ask for help from. And He is the one that we turn to and ask for help. He is the one who does whatever He wills. He is the one who, yani, has power over everything. And we ask Him alone, exclusively, and put our trust in Him and have faith in Him and confidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, according to His perfect wisdom, is going to grant relief in the time that is fit. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.